This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
There's never been a better time to do business in Western Australia. Our network of global investment and trade offices connects you to our world-leading industries and highly skilled workforce. Western Australia. It's like no other.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, this is Jane Garvey, and this is the Woman's Hour Parenting Podcast, which today is about knits. Always a popular subject. Never quite go away, do they, knits? We talk now to Louise Somerville, a listener based in Somerset, who felt that people these days don't know enough about the subject, and some schools are not dealing with knits effectively. So we talk to her, and we get the expert view of entomologist Richard Jones and Joanna Ibarra, programme advisor at the charity Hygiene Concern. First of all, you'll hear from Louise.
Well, my eldest is 29, he's nearly 30. Right. I also have a son who's 26, and I have an 11-year-old, which is why head lice is a current issue for me.
And you believe, and I think this is interesting, that there's a sort of feminist side to this.
That's correct. When I first came across head lice, my now sort of very grown-up child was a small rural village primary school, and the letter came home from school, and it was a really clear letter. I remember being in shock at the time and thinking, oh my goodness, what's this, the infestation, feeling scared about it, feeling a little bit vulnerable about it.
Yeah.
Was grateful because not only was there a very clear letter written about the lifespan, how to deal with them, what the technique was, but there was also an illustration with drawings followed by a note saying, nip along to the school office, and there were combs available, £2 each. So it was not a stigma. It wasn't a stigma at that time. Everybody had the letter. The conversations were happening more, and wet combing with conditioner was definitely the recommended method. And now the situation seems quite different.
Because?
My best guess is that my youngest son has been at a junior school with two male head teachers, and my best guess is that they are not combing their children's hair. And having spoken to a few parents recently, I've discovered that it appears to be the mums that are mostly on the case with dealing with the head combing. And I'm thinking that those head teachers are not recognising that this is a public health issue, that it really affects families and our children. It takes a lot of time to deal with it. And the sooner we are notified of an outbreak, the sooner we can deal with it.
All right, stay with us, Louise. Let's bring in entomologist Richard Jones and Joanna Ibarra, who's from Community Hygiene Concern. Richard, first of all, when head lice, well, when did they first start? That's an idiotic question, but they seem to have always been with us.
Oh, they have, yes. Head lice have been with humans even before we were human, so many hundreds of thousands of years. So they've adapted incredibly well to have survived so long on our heads.
Yeah, well, and they used to be told they only like clean hair. True?
Absolutely not, no. They have, in fact, they any hair at all. The cleanliness of the hair is completely irrelevant. One of the things that I think people don't realise is how active head lice are, how fast they are. We've got this idea of these vermin living amongst the stalks of our hair on our heads.
Yeah.
But actually, if you ever see one moving around, I wanted to photograph one many years ago, and I combed one out of my children's hair and put it on some snipped ends of hair on an envelope.
Ooh.
And it was very difficult following the beast up and down. They're supremely adapted. If you look at them under a microscope, they're always a delight. They've got the most amazing claws, which are exactly the right size to fit on to human hair.
You know, I don't make a practice of asking men to send me photographs for a string of reasons, but I wouldn't mind seeing that photograph of that knit, if you don't mind, Richard, if that's possible.
I'll see if I can hook it out. It was quite a few years ago, but yeah. It should still be around.
I think we'd like to share that with the Woman's Hour audience. OK, so all different sorts of hair, all ethnicities, every single human can have knits. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely none at all.
All right.
So, yes, wherever you are in the world, there are knits.
Right. And to get rid of them, first of all, to be sort of counterintuitive, does it matter if you've got them?
Probably not on head lice. The thing, one of the biological factors to take in is that head lice and body lice are very similar, and whether we call them one species or two species is pretty arbitrary. And we're very lucky that head lice really don't cause us any fuss. But body lice, which I think is luckily something we've eradicated now, spread diseases, mostly through their feces, getting into cuts in the skin. And there are awful reports, usually in times of war or famine or mass migration, terrible disasters where people have got nothing except the clothes they lie down in.
Yeah.
And those clothes are infested. And the reports of 50,000 lice being retrieved from these people. And at that point, it's unlikely that anemia through blood loss is going to be an issue. But there was certainly the allergic reaction to the saliva that they inject, which has anticoagulant properties. That is a real issue. And that's why, of course, people feel lousy. They get irritable, they have a slight temperature, they can't focus. And this is why, and the nitty-gritty, of course, which is in your hair, which is the droppings, and the idea of a numb skull, because you lost the feeling in your skull because you've been bitten so many times. But these all show that really seriously heavy infestations can have an effect.
Right. I did not know that the term numbskull originated there. Joanne Ibarra from Community Hygiene Concern, what do you advise if a family has nits? What's the solution?
Well, first, let's pick up on the fact that lice move very quickly in dry hair. But if they are bathed in moisture, if they're really wet, they stay still. And the easiest way to get your hair really wet is to wash it with ordinary shampoo and then put on any conditioner, and that will keep the lice really wet and sodden and soaking while you are facilitated with untangling and straightening the hair with an ordinary wide tooth comb. And then you can come in with the bright yellow bug buster comb and hook them out very easily. And that's the way that you know that you've got lice.
Yeah, now this can
take. That's the easy way to address it.
Well, you say easy. It's quite time consuming, isn't it? Depending on the length of hair.
Yes, but you've got to bear in mind that if you don't detect lice, and this is the way to detect it when you've got a low number of lice on the head, unbeknown to you, because they're probably not even causing telltale itching, your child might be passing them on and picking them up from other children whose parents don't know that their children have got lice, and they're going round and round and round, which means that lots of people end up doing successive treatments one after another when they realise that there's a problem.
Yeah.
So we introduced bug-busting, wet-combing detection of lice days. The next one is at Halloween, 31st of October.
Oh.
And the simplest way for schools to bring parents back in and keep them informed and get their united action going is to inform them about our helpline. There's a one-to-one helpline.
All right. Well, yeah, OK. I'm sure we can put links up on our website so people can get more information about that. I'm quite interested, Louise, in your theory about height and nits. Can you just remind me of that?
Well, it's something I saw on Twitter this morning. I looked on Twitter to see if any men were talking about head lice or if, again, it was just the women.
Yes.
And one mum put that her child, touchwood, had never had an infestation of head lice, and another parent responded with, "Is your child tall?"
Yeah. And?
And it turns out that, according to the mums on Twitter, that if your child is tall, the their heads are further away from the other children and that lice seem to move down. But I'm also particularly interested in what Richard said about the speed and how Joanna countered that by saying that when your hair is very wet, they don't move as fast. So I'm going to put myself in the firing line of embarrassment now and say that when combing my hair a couple of weeks ago, because we've had a recent outbreak of head lice in July during lockdown, strangely enough, I was combing on one side and then I felt that there was an itch or a movement on the other side of my head. So then I moved the comb to the other side and I'm practically thinking, this is ridiculous. Head lice don't have a brain. They can't move away from the comb. Is there any point in combing one side of my hair and then quickly moving to the other side?
Okay.
Or should I be going all the way round the head in a more orderly fashion?
Well, very briefly, that's one for Richard.
Yes, several centimetres a second, or a couple of centimetres a second they can move. They're incredibly fast. Yes, it's funny how you can sometimes feel them crawling around. I'm quite proud, I think, to be the only man who's ever combed and knit a head louse out of his hair and then presented it as an exhibit that same day at a meeting of a National Entomological Society.
How proud you are. Your whole family must be, Richard.
They are, yes. I remind them of this all the time. The speed they move is incredible, and I think that's something to take into account when thinking about head lice transferring around the classroom. And as a good biogeography analogy that you can borrow here, and that your child's head is not a lone island. They don't have an infestation that you have to cope with. They're part of an archipelago, and a head louse can start on one child and possibly move through half a dozen other heads before it gets to the end of the day in a classroom. They really are incredibly active, and because they're very small, people miss that key biological point, and that's actually how infestations get around so fast.
Entomologist Richard Jones, Joanna Ibarra, Programme Advisor at the Charity Hygiene Concern, and Louise Somerville, who is a very passionate listener in Somerset. Thanks to all of them. And if there's something you'd like us to talk about on the Woman's Hour Parenting Podcast, contact the programme via our website.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
There's never been a better time to do business in Western Australia. Our network of global investment and trade offices connects you to our world-leading industries and highly skilled workforce. Western Australia. It's like no other.
Hey, I'm Candace Lim.
And I'm Rachel Hampton. We're the hosts of ICYMI, Slate's podcast about internet culture.
And we want to help you make sense of the need-to-know internet stories of the week.
Consider us your internet historians of past, present, and future.
Of the good, the bad, and the truly unhinged.
From nuanced takes on stories we're all closely following, to the ones you wished you heard about.
In case you missed it, that's ICYMI, the podcast that's extremely online, so you don't have to be. Follow and listen now.